CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Cliff Central. You are with us, Wedding Central. It's myself and Ntombi Ntlapo.
And myself, Carly De Villiers. I always question who I am.
Live questions. So good to be back this week. We've got Tumi, what is it now?
Malatsilok.
Oh, Malatsilok. Okay. We've got Itumeleng Malatsilok in the studio with us today. And today we are speaking about black and white. And before we go any further...
Are we going to do black and white, or are we going to do like interracial, whether you be...
You're being PC.
Okay, yeah. So I did say to Ntombi, you know, this is quite an awkward one for me to do, you know, without sounding funny.
You know, before we go any further, I think it's only fair to say, you know, anything that we speak about today, we're not trying to, you know, be offensive. We're not trying to ruffle any feathers. We're not trying to be racist in any way. But we are addressing black and white and people who get married that are from the different races. Particularly, Itumeleng, you tell us why you fit today's topic.
So basically, why did we invite her?
Yeah.
So I married this little Englishman. Wow. And shame, he's so splendid, he's so sweet, but I think initially it was all like an out-of-body experience
for him. Oh,
really? Yeah, like fish out of water, he didn't know what to do, and when I told him, he was like, why can't I just ask your dad for your hand in marriage? So I was like, that's the first of like 100 steps, dude. But I think he was very, very, in the end, comfortable with everything. Like, right. He embraced everything so well.
How long did you date before you got engaged?
Like 8 months or so.
Wow.
So except I'd known him for very long.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you meet?
I went to his workshop one day.
Right.
Like many, many moons ago. And this man was adamant that I had to call him back and give him feedback that the car was okay and everything. Okay. And I was like, cool. And he could see that I was never going to call him back.
Okay.
And he was like, please, 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 please. I've made another appointment.
So was it love at first sight for him?
I think it was. Either that or my twins.
Okay.
Because they were on display. But I really
have beautiful big babies sitting on her chest. She got huge boobs.
So it was, yeah, maybe it was a little bit of both. Yeah. But this man was adamant. And eventually, like 5 minutes after I left, he called me. And we couldn't stop talking.
Fair.
And I'm like, this is so strange. But okay, cool. But best thing I've ever done.
Had you ever dated a white guy before?
Oh, yeah.
So you...
I was always comfortable with the white boys.
She's down with the swirl, dude. Down with the swirl.
You know.
So, Ntombi, just in general now, what do you think of how South Africa has progressed in terms of interracial relationships? Are we still very, very far behind? Is the public in general still finding it very difficult to accept interracial relationships? You know, I've got mates also, you know, there's a couple, he's white and she's black, and, you know, they constantly have issues, and he has to do a lot of their bookings and whatnot just so that service and that kind of thing, you know, the surname.
Really?
Yeah,
what,
yeah.
Bookings like when you go for to
restaurants,
dinner,
even. Yeah, restaurants, holiday,
absolutely.
All of that stuff.
No freaking way.
100%. So do you find, like, what is your opinion on where South Africa is? Where do we stand on the whole interracial relationships?
Like, we're way back in the 80s.
Really?
Seriously, like, it's just all under wraps. We go to any restaurant. It doesn't matter if it's, like, a quick takeaway or a very fancy, like, five-star experience or whatever. And we will constantly get stares. As a matter of fact, on our first anniversary, we went to some fancy new restaurant in Rosebank.
Right.
And there was a table that literally was pointing and laughing at us.
You're joking.
And I got so incensed that I wanted to get up and say something. He was like, no, you're
spoiling our anniversary.
Exactly, right? And he was just like, chill, just let it go.
It's not even a thing.
And eventually one of the waiters came around and I pointed at the table and I was like, do you know if those guys know me or something? Like, I'm not a celebrity. Yeah. What's going on? And there's been times when we've been away. We went to Dahlstrom and it was just like I literally was refused service.
Oh my God.
This white lady behind the counter was just like, I don't know how to use this till. And then she disappeared after serving four other ladies in front of me. And I'd ordered a sami for my husband. And
I'm blown away too. Are you really?
I kid you not. Sure. Cape Town has been an experience and a half.
Literally got
like all the tourists were like, oh, how did you guys meet? It's so lovely. Welcome to the swell life and everything. And South Africans were like,
anti the movement. Wow, that is crazy.
I'm gobsmacked.
Yeah.
No, we get it all the time.
100%. I mean, even for us, I mean, you know, our mates, we recently went on holiday in Harties and we booked out a house and whatnot. And it was easier to do it through him and his name than to do it through one of us. And it's just... It's a real thing, this race thing. And you know,
how awkward it feels for me? Because I cannot actually believe it. That's what I said to him before we had the show. I was just like, I think I might be quite quiet on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And I can't imagine how that weight strains your relationship, because I feel like relationships are hard enough as is, you know, just, you know, a man and a woman together dealing with things that you have to deal with together, plus the weight of the world and the judgment.
You know what it is? I actually think that the pair of us have had really great upbringings, in that both of our families were never like, you know, like, race is a subject, don't deny it, but don't be a racist, you know?
Right.
So whether somebody is black, white, Indian, it doesn't matter. You've got to treat that person based on merit.
Mm, mm.
And that
as a human.
But at the same take, that doesn't mean that person's going to treat you on merit, you know? So just be aware of that.
Right.
And for him, like, I think, like, the first black person he ever saw, being this little boy in this little country village.
Right.
I think he was like 7 or 8.
Wow.
When he was like, oh my gosh, there's a black kid in the school. Yeah.
That's crazy. That
how long has he been in South Africa?
He's been in South Africa for about 10 years now.
10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So he hasn't really, has he grown up with black people?
Not really, but I mean, he had, like, one of his best friends was this West Indian guy who was like, apparently, like, midnight black, okay? Black as the ace of spades, I tell you.
Right?
And I mean, that guy was like his ride or die, you know?
Right.
So when that dude passed away, like, it was very, very touch and go for him as well. But for the most part, like, I say he doesn't see race because it's not like, oh, I don't see that you're a white girl, but it's just that, like,
it's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
Which is excellent. So tell me, obviously now you guys are dating, everything's amazing. At some point now we have to do the family introductions, right?
Yeah.
You must say, right, Mawe, this is my guy, and vice versa.
I wonder how that went down.
I kid you not. I feel like my parents were like,
we knew.
Cool, we know. Like, if I had come home with a black guy, they would have been like, look, we're okay.
Are you
okay? So they were like, my mom was like, oh,
standard
so
procedure.
Nice to meet you. And my dad was like, I think I've seen this guy somewhere before.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, calm down. My sister, on the other hand, her apprehensions were that somebody's taking my sister away from me.
Right.
So it wasn't so much a racial thing either.
Right.
But obviously at some point, like, that whole thing had to come out. Like, my uncles and aunts were always like...
Yes.
Which I'm sure you probably faced quite a backlash on that from the uncles.
There was one aunt who just kind of looked at me, like, the whole time. Like, she's a close enough aunt, but the entire time she just kind of stared at me like... She never really spoke to me or anything.
In fact, she's befuzzled.
She's beyond.
Just like, what is? Maybe it's still coming. Maybe.
And then I got this nickname, Umfazo Mlungu, so. Which is the white man's wife.
Okay, so I was also chatting to the ladies who do my hair, and I said to her, like, can you explain this whole thing of a blesser? Did people think when you started out that he would be?
Oh yeah, I think that wherever we go, people still think that. I'm
really?
Sure they're like,
really?
Oh, she's with him for his money.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you can just tell. And also for a lot of, like, black people back in the day, like, so, if you were a black chick dating a white guy,
that was the typical relationship.
Yeah, you were probably a prostitute, and, you know, you were just making money on the side, kind of a thing.
Right, right.
So for a lot of them, well, like, especially like my uncles and aunts, and this one particular aunt, she was like, must be.
So she thought it was all about the
money. To me, why? Like, your life is great. Why? You don't need this girl.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so fine. So obviously, and I always say, it's always, you know, your immediate family has no issues with things like this. It's always the greater family.
Right.
And the grannies and the...
Yes.
Sure.
Did language ever become an issue? Because I always say, I mean, you know, our parents and stuff now, yes, they can speak English or whatever the case is. But you find that a lot of, especially, you know, our families, the black families, you know, the further out you go, English becomes a huge issue.
Oh, monumental.
So, yeah. Mm. So does communication, just literally talking, to be able to talk to him, did that start to become a huge...
Oh. I'm just trying to put myself in these shoes.
Yeah.
So when we first had to go to the homeland,
yes, right,
and tell all the other uncles and aunts, right, and grannies and grandpas, in Bulawayo. Okay. Palabora. So,
oh,
like,
oh, wow.
Far.
Okay.
My geography is nothing. Is that like near? I have no idea where that is.
So, that must be quite, there must be English and that whole concept of
like
black
there's
and white
Betty and Afrikaans.
Okay.
So, English is like a very distant third. And, like, you know, shame, for the most part, like, they were like, hi, how are you? Kind of thing. And it ends there.
Right.
Yeah. And now you've got to speak English, but you've also got to speak English to a man with a very heavy English accent. And he speaks fast. So I always had to say to him, you really need to slow down.
Mm.
Like, and he's like, it's so awkward because I'm trying to be nice, but I just get these blank stares. And yeah, I'm like, oh, don't worry, I get them too.
That's an all-round thing.
And it was so funny because, like, we had my sister who was trying to also then translate when I wasn't around, or, like, my dad would try and translate or something. But for the most part, I think they were just like, our family's going to be rich now because there's a white man. And
the bank has arrived.
So he had to pay La Bola and everything.
He did. He did.
And he was fine with that? And his family? And
so his La Bola negotiators, because he's an only kid. And
right.
With very, very distant uncles and aunts as well in the UK. So he had very close friends who were black guys from South Africa to do his La Bola negotiations.
So that must have been quite hectic, like, that was, on his side.
He was so incredibly nervous. And he was like, must I be this? I was like, no, you might be able to come a little later, but no.
Yeah.
So he had to trust those guys.
He had to trust them, literally, you know, and they were such awesome gentlemen. Oh, really, they were.
So nice.
And they knew that they were going to get like a little bit of
fleck and,
you know, here and there.
Yeah.
But it was fine.
Because
they really
handled
it. Goes. Right.
That's not
There's
even
no smooth sailing.
That's not even about black or white. They are going to give the groom a hard time.
Right.
That's just what you're not just going to come in and take here.
Oh, 100%. And I had the same aunt who was like, we can charge him more.
He's of the paler type. So
I was like, what? Are you guys serious? No, don't even try that.
Right.
Did it become an issue? Did you like say to your family, or you can't really say it to your uncles, hey, but your dad, and don't you, I mean, and Tomba, you... Mm.
What? Careful now.
Yes.
But Dak, did you not have an issue that with the amount that he had to pay because they were trying to get more out of this white guy?
No, to be honest, I feel like in the end it was fair.
Okay.
Yeah, right. In the end
so
it was fair.
So the negotiations really did, they hackled a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I always, and again, that wouldn't have been a white thing. I think,
no, not at all.
Yeah, I think across the board, I mean.
It has to happen.
It has to happen, yeah. And also, like I don't like to call my dad a liar. He's one of the most honest people. The one time he lied to me was on the day of my La Bola negotiations.
Seriously?
Yeah, my dad was like, we're going to charge 10K because, you know, it's just a formality. Don't even stress. And then he came with this other left field amount. And I was like, okay, but do you want me to get married or like not? Because this is just.
And do you get upset with.
I cried because I was just like, this guy, basically, we're going to eat cornflakes for the rest of our lives. Like, I was just, you know, it's left field. And my point is, and I've had it with friends as well, where you've gone to their La Bolas and it's just an argument with the family because all
about
of a sudden, this, yeah, because it's this amount. And it's just like, but guys, this is
we're
not.
Starting our lives
together. This, and also, it's not what we spoke about. And it's just, it seems extreme. So I think the price thing,
it happens.
Black, white, whatever.
Yeah. No, 100%. I agree with that as well.
It was going to. What tradition, what culture are you?
Betty.
Betty. So, in terms of how he started the La Bola, who wrote the letter?
Oh, did he? He's so sweet. So he, because of his friends,
right.
he knew that he had to write a letter. It couldn't be like
and
a face to face. Hi, can I have your daughter's hand?
So it's not like okay.
So he's very sweet. So he wrote my dad an email, you know, and he literally said, "I've seen a flower in your garden that I'd like to pick."
Okay,
kind of
I
a
love
thing,
it.
And I was like, "That's so sweet." Who are you going to write about this?
Yes.
Did you get engaged first?
No.
Did he do the formal engagement?
No. Like, and also, I didn't want like
So you wanted it like how it would...
I wanted it as a discussion because okay. I don't like surprises and I'm like, you're not going to get this right.
Okay, so you didn't do it how a traditional white person would do it.
No, not at all. Not at all. Which was actually quite a surprise to a lot of people.
Okay,
including my folks. They were like, seriously, you... Oh, okay. Oh,
that's quite cool.
Cool. Which is great.
But so he wrote this, and my dad's got this little PC triangle of friends. Mm-hmm. So it's him and then there's a white guy and there's this colored guy and they are like... trio of besties.
Okay.
So he sat back and he read this email and he called them around and he said, look guys, look at this email that I got. And the three of them took the mickey the rest of that afternoon. Got not a stitch of work done. And they were like, yeah, okay, respond and tell him that you need like 7 brown cows and then 7 black cows and 7 white cows and that he needs to carry them from his home to your house.
He needs to
be like only in like animal hide and barefoot and he needs to bring like a black and white chicken and like just a list of ridiculous demands.
Did your dad do that?
Literally. They sat there and they typed out this long list of requirements.
Joking.
And when my husband started reading this, like he panicked. He went completely pale. And I said to him, what's wrong? And he's like, your dad's just responded. Sure. And I was like, oh no, what's wrong? Because I could see that there was obviously something wrong. And he's like, darling, you didn't tell me like it's this hectic. So I was like, oh no, shame.
I can just imagine he's thinking, I have to get into these cow hides. How am I going to carry a cow from like four ways?
And a goat. And like one had to be like brown on one side and white on the other side.
He doesn't even know where to get them from.
So, I mean, complete stitches, the three of them. And he didn't even tell me that that's what he was doing. But then I phoned him and I said, Dad, why did you do that? Like, you petrified this man, okay? And he was just, like, finished over the phone. He was like, it's funny, hey? It's funny, hey? It's funny. Like, no, it's not. So I think, like, when he got to, like, at some point when it was, like, a ridiculous demand, like, he was like, no, your dad's having one. And I was like,
this can't
okay.
be real.
And then I read it and I was like, yeah, no, don't worry. Literally just taking the mickey out of you. So in the end...
So your dad absolutely loved him. He just was taking the...
100%. Completely. And in the end, then he had to obviously consult with, like, his brothers and other uncles and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then they made, like, they responded to him and they set, like, a date and stuff like that. And everything came together very, very nicely.
Okay, cool. Were there any things that your family was... Yeah, that was, like, laugh of the year. were there any things that your family was perhaps maybe more lenient with because perhaps he wasn't perhaps black in terms of culture?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or like what, for example?
Like also, we're not really like traditionalists, okay? Which is
a
bit of a downfall.
So,
but it made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So quite often, even though like I had an elder sister who's married, but we had to obviously always call back and be like to other uncles and aunts, like, what do we have to do? Because this one's a white one. Like, do we still have to, you know?
Can I jump a list?
Yeah.
Right.
And the only thing my mother was adamant about was having a white flag outside the house, like a couple of days before the wedding.
Isn't the white flag when you consummate your marriage?
No.
It just symbolizes that there's a wedding, a marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happened was back in the days, obviously black people lived in like townships and villages and stuff. And the thing is people erect tents, whether it's for a funeral, whether it's for a 21st birthday, whether it's for a wedding. So the only way to tell that it's actually a wedding is this white flag outside.
Okay.
Yeah. So now everyone can know that, And it goes up like 2-3 days beforehand and the actual day just to show that, you know, we're celebrating the wedding.
And then in terms of like when he paid the lobola, did you advise him not to pay the lobola all at the same time?
No. And I'd heard this from friends of mine. They were like, oh, no. And they actually advised him. They were like, don't pay it all at the same time.
Okay.
And he was like, really? No, like, I feel like I have to.
But then it's rude to pay it all at the same time.
To some people, but for a lot of petty people, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Pay up, yo.
Yeah. Okay, pay up.
Pay up. And you will always pay. Yes. Like, that's just it. So so he was like, he was very excited. He was like, oh, look, I don't have to pay all of it. So I said, you said that?
Who lied?
And of course, like, for my mom and, like, her circle of friends, she was so ecstatic when he paid it all up. You know, like one go, once off. And,
and she was like,
oh, my white son-in-law paid cash. All of it.
Yonkin dog. Right. So what it is that it's different. It's different cultures that have different rules. And okay. and it's not to say rules are like legit set in stone or whatever. There's the rules which almost form as like guidelines. Mm. And then each family has kind of how they
100%.
They kind of carry it out. So like, for example, I know Zulus for sure, you can't pay all of it like on your first visit. That's like offensive. That's like a slap in the face or whatever. But also in the same breath, Zulus can't pay the whole amount. So if they've charged you as well. So if they've charged you, for example, 10,000 Rand, you can't short by a lot. Like you can't pay four and then be like, game's up. You have to pay like eight and then you just don't pay the last two.
Okay.
Because it's this thing of that, you know, you'll continue paying and looking after their child.
Yeah. And also if they do pay the whole thing in full, then she can't technically be a part of the family should anything happen. So for example, if there's a funeral, she can't come a couple of days before and help with peeling and arrangement. Okay. She's going to come as a guest, So she'll come in her two-piece on the day of the funeral, attend like all the other guests and then leave. She's no longer part of this side of the family. So it just kind of depends on how your family kind of wants to play.
Yeah.
It's not like rules, you know, by the law.
So when he finished paying the lobola and now the uncle set the date, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So does he come home and say, okay, we can get married now?
So what happened was,
does he give you a ring? Like, I know in Tombi town, but now it's a black and white guy. You know, like.
So there wasn't a ring and I never wanted one. And
okay.
I mean, he was kind of happy with that, but he was like, are you sure?
Okay.
And I think 3 months before we got married, I wanted a ring. Out of the blue, I was just like, actually,
I want one.
And he was like, but you said you didn't want one. Like, and for like a good solid year, I was like, nah, don't worry about it.
Not a thing.
Like, I really wanted the whole conversation. You don't have to go down on one knee or whatever. Yeah. So I keep saying to him, one day you actually have to propose. And now we're married. He's like, nah,
it's over now.
Dude, like, whatever. But anyway, so there was a date that was set and his negotiators came to the house. Everything was done and dusted on one day. And then there was like this nice little luncheon that was served for all these negotiators.
Mm-hmm. And that's the day you actually married, hey? That it's official.
Yeah, basically.
Technically, yeah.
It's so weird to me. It must have been very weird for him as well.
I feel like that paid more weight in terms of our marriage than like a traditional white wedding or a Western wedding, because he's used to that.
And I mean, that's why, like, from my side as a white person, and now understanding what lobola is about, to me, I'm like, why didn't the white people do lobola? You know, like, I think it's a fabulous thing. He must realize what he's.
Oh, right. Yeah, 100%.
100%.
And really, for the most part, everything was like such an out-of-body experience for him. But he so welcomed everything. And when he was invited to the lunch, which doesn't generally happen, he just felt so honored.
And so welcomed into the family.
Right? And then the only thing he had a problem with was that he couldn't take his jacket off until a particular uncle said, yes, you can.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's from the UK. And I mean,
this heat.
It's a lot.
Death.
It's a lot.
Okay? Death. He's always melting.
So did the uncle wait quite a while?
Yes.
Oh, just on purpose. Okay, I can just imagine. Okay, and then did he have to slaughter?
He did.
Because I can't wait to be at Ndumi slaughtering.
He did, but he couldn't. He literally couldn't bring himself to doing it.
He couldn't.
So
what did the uncle say to that?
I think they let that one slide.
Okay.
They were just like this poor white guy. Yeah. They were just like, they could literally see how petrified he was. He was just like, I can't do this.
Right.
And in the beginning, leading up to it, he was always joking like, no, can't they just go get like meat from the butcher or something? Yeah. And he was like, closer to the time, like, darling, you know, I can't do this. I really can't do this.
So how did they do it? Like,
so he had, he was there. He had to be there. That was the one thing that they were like, he had gag.
Yeah.
Like the entire night he had gag. And I was like, shame. I kind of feel sorry. No.
He didn't want to eat it.
And then
he'd seen it.
And then he was fine. When lunch was served, he was okay. He was like, oh.
It's cooked.
It's stew, man. Yeah. Have this all the time.
I got this. No, it's fine. Right. It's fine.
It's probably the best stew he's ever had.
That was the only thing that he had an absolute problem with. And he was like, I can't. And I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And family didn't really.
I don't know what to say because they kind of want you to and you kind of have to.
Right.
Did anyone raise their eyebrow at that?
Oh, yeah.
There was some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, as well, in this day and age with the modern man, a lot of guys don't have that skill.
Oh, really?
A lot of them. Yeah, a lot of them don't have that skill. Like, thank goodness, like, Dice went to, he went to the mountains. So they, like, he can do it, like, with his eyes closed.
Yeah.
Skin an animal, kill it, and no issues. But we love dogs, guys. Don't stress. Yeah. Many, we are all good with the SPCA. But a lot of guys in this day and age, because a lot of the rural upbringings and stuff have just fallen away, people have gone to modern schools or whatever, a lot of guys actually just don't have the skill set. So as much as perhaps they might not gag or whatever, a lot of them just can't. They can't do it.
And then it's just,
and then there's always some uncle who comes in and pushes you out the way and just carries on. And just like, this is how you do it in China.
Yes,
100%. So, yeah.
Sure.
And then were there any, in terms of the gift exchange, do babies do that first off?
Yes, they do.
Okay,
they
cool. So in terms of lists and stuff, how did that work and who had to then go shopping with him? So maybe for listeners that aren't aware, Carly, with traditional weddings, there's a point where there's some kind of gift exchange to the families. Mm-hmm. And each family comes up with a list of living people, people that are still coming, people that have passed away. And you get, you know, blankets, coats, walking sticks, all kinds of gifts or whatever the case is. And they present it to the relevant people. So my question is, how did that whole thing unfold? Who helped him to shop? Did they do the presentation? Who got the gifts on his side? How did that transpire for you guys?
So the difficult aunt wanted everything the for most. Everyone.
Oh, really? Okay. He must have been like,
and he was like, sure, hey, I didn't realize your family was so big. Yeah. Never mind, money, just big. Like,
there's many.
Who's this uncle and who's this cousin, whatever.
Ancestors?
Not as far as I know. Okay. Certainly not the Petties. Okay. Cool. So when it came to our traditional wedding, he only in the end had to get for all of our negotiators and close family, and that was it. Mm. So everybody who lives in my home.
Okay, quick, going back, did he have to stand across the road when he went for the negotiations?
No, he was not there.
He's not there.
But his negotiators, did they have to wait on the other side of the road until they let them in the house?
Just in the driveway.
In the driveway.
So they weren't allowed in.
Okay.
Yeah. Until they were allowed in. Okay. You know?
But they didn't make them wait super long.
No, about 15 minutes.
Oh, that sounds
good. Oh, wow.
That's not long at all.
Oh, that's lovely. But like,
when you don't know anything, and my husband's also like, he can get to the point of irritation, like, what's going on? What's happening? What's going on? What's happening? And then I'm like, but you can't
be like this.
It's amazing. Because we can't actually talk. So like, so if he wasn't calling or texting me, he was calling and texting his negotiators.
He must have been beside himself.
He, sweating bullets, okay? Right. Sweating bullets. But so come the traditional wedding day, he only had to give like my close family and the negotiators.
Which is so nice.
Which was very, very nice.
Really,
and also
cool.
We, both of us, were like completely in the dark. I was like, I'm not too sure what you have to get. Like, a lot of people want blankets. There's uncles that have always wanted walking sticks. And I'm like, why? But, you know. Anyway, some wanted booze.
Right.
Some wanted everything. So we eventually just came up with, like, a couple of nice gifts, like scarves for some of the ladies as well. And, like, traditional skirts and dresses.
Okay.
And that went to, like, my mom and my sister. And my mom got a nice little blanket as well. And, yeah, it was so easy, I must be honest.
Okay. Right.
So even shopping for all of that, like, I had to be there. I wasn't allowed to pick out anything. So I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
So he had to do all the shopping.
But then, like, my eyes would pick out and then he'd be like, this one. That's the one.
Is it in the Petty culture where they put a blanket over the brides?
Yes, they do.
Did you do that?
No.
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 Okay.
Because then I'd have to also get stuff put on my face. And
that's not you.
No. So even I got into trouble for a lot.
Oh, really?
Because I was like, I fucked the system.
Yeah.
Like, that's not happening. Nothing covers Mac. Leave me alone. So
it's Mac or Mac.
Yeah, right? So the difficult aunt was like, this girl, like, her marriage is going to, like, fail because she's not sticky. Like, the aunts are going to be very, very upset. Angry with her, and they're going to be upset. And I was like, cool. Let them.
I'll deal with it.
Oh, we'll you are that type of person. You're like, whatever.
Yeah,
it's my way or no way.
Right,
literally. So, and when my dad, as long as my dad was cool with it,
then
I was cool with it, and he's so chilled.
Okay.
So he was like, look, if she doesn't want to, and you guys haven't given her a legitimate reason,
yeah,
she ain't gonna do it. She doesn't have to do it.
You know, and I love that because there's a lot of things in culture that people just say it's always been done that way.
Yeah.
And there's some things where I'm just like, okay, but guys, that's actually not a reason.
Yeah.
Like, give me a legitimate something. Like, what is this going to serve for? Mm. Who is this for? Like, why are we doing it? Because a lot of, no, this is how we do it. That doesn't really count.
That
doesn't mean it really
works.
Yeah, 100%. So I think that's pretty cool that your family was like so easygoing with a lot of things.
And then on the wedding,
I was surprised on the wedding day because I was like, oh, cool, everything's done and dusted now. We've exchanged gifts. This is the end of it.
And they kind of open and say, okay, right, they're getting married.
So I was like, cool, now we can just party up a storm, you know? And they were like, no, no, you've got to wash your husband's feet. So I was like, sorry.
No, no. And he was like, really?
And he was like, come on, girl. Jump to it.
Get
and I was like, seriously, are you? Like, I actually had to call my dad and I was like, guys, we didn't discuss this. And they were like, not everything's a discussion. You know, this you will do. And I was like, seriously.
And so, and your hubby must have loved this.
Loved. Loved. Are you joking? Like, he was like, I'm a king.
Right.
And his one little negotiator had said that, you know, this is how it has to be forever and ever and ever. Like,
that you're always
every day you got to come home and she's got to wash your feet.
He come home and he like puts his feet on the desk. Yeah.
He does. And then I just brush them aside and I'm like, don't you even think about it. But yeah, so I had to like literally, I had to like get down on my knees and like wash his feet and then like get him like a nice clean, even though he had a clean pair of socks, I can get him a clean pair of socks, put those on,
moisturize,
everything.
Everything.
I was like,
the whole thing.
I was almost embarrassed. I think it was just like, I felt awkward. Like, also, you guys have put me on the spot. You didn't prepare me for this. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, in the greatest scheme of things, I feel like there's a whole lot more people do. Just watch OPW. But in the end, yeah, like, we say nothing. In the end, like, it wasn't that bad. And that was the only thing I had to do. So I got over it.
No, that's cool.
And then, like, all the singing and the dancing for the traditional wedding. Like,
I got so emotional about that. Okay. And he loved it.
Did he love it?
He loved every second of it. He was like,
we
should get married every day.
Did he ever stop you at once and say, what does that mean?
Always.
Always.
Always. But for the most part, like, I tried to prepare him and be like, okay, look, I know you're going to get nervous and you're going to feel like people are staring at you, but they are.
Yeah.
I mean, it is your wedding.
They're going to.
And this is an interracial relationship and marriage. They're going to be staring at you. Like, get over it.
And do you think, how many people were at your traditional wedding?
Sheesh, close to 300.
Do you think there was more people at the traditional wedding just because there was this white guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because everyone just, it was like a spectacle.
Of an older generation, like of our friends, like the right amount of people were there, you know?
But it was just, it was
like the family came to see.
The family came.
And they made it their mission. They would be at this
wedding. Yeah. And make sure that he does what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, he must not offend us kind of thing. But he didn't have much to do. Like,
all
the cultural observances had been done, you know? So there was nothing to do but to celebrate the day and, you know, celebrate our union. And I think we both got emotional when I was walked out the house because he had to wait outside.
I literally just got goosebumps.
Oh, sweet.
Love that moment.
Like, he was waiting outside and I was dressed and ready to go and there was nothing delaying us. It's just everybody was playing delaying tactics.
Yes.
Like, just wait. We're not ready. Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And now I'm hot and bothered because it was sweltering, okay?
Mm.
And I walked out and I couldn't make eye contact with anybody. Not because I wasn't allowed to, but partly, but because
you were so emotional.
I couldn't look up. I just couldn't look at it. The minute I looked up, everybody was smiling and so happy. And I was like, so I just kept looking. I didn't know what to do with
That's
my hands.
So sweet.
And I walked down to him and my mom and dad.
Oh, tears in your eyes. Tears in your eyes.
So happy. They were so happy. And they shook his hand. And They kind of just handed him over to me, or me over to him. And then we went dancing on the street. And it was cool. Like, we marched down and we marched back up.
The whole thing.
Right. I had to also prep my bridesmaids, two of whom were white.
Right.
And I was like, girls, you just have to sweep. Okay. You're just clearing the way for me. All right. That's all you have to
do.
Did they
sweep with brooms?
Yes. Yeah. Like traditional, you know, brooms.
The grass brooms.
Okay.
So that was quite an experience for them. And my sister, who's like militant sometimes, she's like, girls, all you have to do is sweep. That's your only role, sweep. You're not sweeping. Girls, the photographer's there, you're not sweeping.
Oh my God.
Hey, sweep.
And there's not much you can say because all eyes are on you.
Right. So you have to.
So your cheeks have to be high at all times.
Right. But it was splendid. It was absolutely splendid.
He must have had the most amazing time as well because it was so
different.
He loved
it. And for him, like, the traditional wedding was it. That was the
be-all. Had he been to a traditional wedding before, prior to his own wedding?
No. No.
So that's like the standard.
And now he said that, like, the standard is so high.
Right?
Wow. He's going to attend and be like, tusk. This is not it.
He's going to be like, these guys. And, like, every now and then, like, I have to remind him, like, easy, tiger. Like, just because we did it one way and we were very lax. Like, doesn't mean somebody else is going to.
Do it that way.
But when it came to the Western wedding, that was hands off. That was all me. I was like, nobody touch.
It was your wedding.
That was my wedding. Like, my folks, they could handle the traditional wedding. They could do anything and everything.
But I think
they
that's what you're going to do here, Torms.
And
probably.
Like, whatever you tell me to do, for the most part, I'll do it. But the way
it's amazing,
wedding, hands off.
I mean, we have a number of black clients, and they come to us for the Western wedding, and they're like, this is my wedding.
100%.
It has nothing to do with the parents.
Right?
It's my wedding.
Yeah. Like, I think it's a lot because the traditional has so many things that you can't control.
Yes.
Like, especially the actual traditions and things that have to happen or whatever the case is. So you do have to bite your tongue a lot. And the one thing they always remind you of during a traditional wedding is that this is about you. So you can hush because we're not talking to you about this.
But it's about you.
We get that it's about you, but you're not really that involved. So just relax yourself. I think that's the part that's why by the time the white wedding comes, you're like, right, that's it. My voice now only.
Yeah.
So how many people did you have at the Western wedding?
120. Yeah.
And that must have also been quite a difficult one for your family to digest.
Because my sister had been through it before, they were starting to get okay with it. Okay. So they were like, oh, all right, so it's not going to be...
And didn't you get married on the other side of Pretoria?
Yeah.
So
in Bronkhorstspruit, yeah. So that also helped. Yeah. I was like, sweet deal.
Distance is always a thing.
Great thing.
I wanted to find out, in terms of the after, and now that you're married, and how the whole tradition has happened, is there any advice that you could give to somebody that is perhaps dating somebody who is of the other race and thinking about doing the whole marriage thing? What do you think is kind of like a key, like, piece of advice, number one, in terms of handling family? Because I think family more than anything is...
That must be the biggest hardship.
I think that's the biggest hurdle because, I mean, it's your love thing. And I'm not really talking about, like, parents and, like, immediate family because those people usually understand because they know who you are.
It's all those distant relations who can make it difficult.
And 100%. And those are the ones that will find that they have influence over maybe your parents even and say, no, this can't happen or whatever the case
is. And even for, I think, a lot of couples as well, that you end up questioning and doubting yourself as well because somebody's brought in
constantly
this doubt,
like,
you know.
Yeah.
I think that the best thing that anybody could ever do in that situation is learn to take a step back, and your differences shouldn't divide you. They should actually bring you closer.
Mm.
And that's what happened with my husband and I. Like, instead of being like, that's weird, we don't do that, you know.
Yeah.
It was, oh, seriously, wow, that's interesting. Now tell me, why do you do that? So... Mm. Even if you're not affair with something, you can learn to be comfortable with it or reach a compromise of sorts, you know, as opposed to alienating each other and being like, we don't do that, we can't do that, you know?
That's right.
But that doesn't mean it's always going to be smooth sailing, you know? Like, we've discussed obviously having kids and stuff like that, and it's like, are you comfortable with, like, this black mama hitting your colored baby because, you know, the kids out of line or whatever.
Yeah,
and like, for black kids, like, you get a hiding. That's
the discipline line.
Right? And he's like, no, I would be very comfortable with that versus our friends who are like, no,
absolutely not,
person may touch my kid.
Okay.
Kind of a thing, you know? Sure. And you've got to respect that. But I think when it comes to it, like, nothing should be a surprise. Literally have these discussions. They sometimes are uncomfortable and awkward.
Right.
But don't let it all surprise you at one go, because then it does become overwhelming, especially leading up to a wedding.
Right.
And then
which is overwhelming
this,
in its own.
Right.
Like by itself, you know, and
100%.
With that added pressure. Do you find that you had to, and I mean, your family sounds stress-lax. Like it was not as hectic. Like my dad, as easygoing as it is, like when it comes to Zulu culture, like he's,
please,
Jesus help us. So, but do you find that you have to either protect your husband more because he's white and because he's not of that culture, like in terms of your family, like in family meetings and stuff, or do you think it would be easier to let him, I don't know, like
let learn him, for himself,
yeah, let him learn for, like let him go through it by himself. Obviously if it's getting like to the point of crazy, then obviously step in. But do you find that in terms of maybe family, especially men and respect and that kind of thing, how far do you go, like how far do you pipe up in terms of talking for your husband?
All the time. All the
but
time
that's you to me.
That is just me, like all the time. But to be fair, like I feel like my folks for the most part, we're always like, wait, we can't just assume you know what we're going to go through and what's going to happen. And even in our home, like for the longest time, Roger had to come wearing like a jacket. You can't just come
with a t-shirt.
With a t-shirt on or something, you know,
really?
Like you really have to have your shoulders covered and you have to be like dignified to walk into your in-laws' home, you know?
Okay.
And for him, he was like, look, I'm melting. Can we have a discussion about this? I said, mm-mm. If you have a problem with it, you must go to the elders and talk to them.
Yeah,
like, I'm not going to do that. But
but
for the most part, like, I feel like they didn't assume, so they had to tell him first. So that, okay,
he's
now
aware.
If you mess up, that's on you.
Right.
We've at least warned you. But, you know what, like, the respect goes both ways. Mm. Like, he's not a disrespectful man, so... You know, it was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I remember you telling me about your hair. I'll never forget the day when you just tell us the story that you told us with Roger and your hair.
When I had my natural hair, and he said, "Oh, you're black," and I was like, "Well, yes."
So what was it that you had a wig on first?
I had a wig on, and then like. Took it off and he was like,
oh.
Wow.
Oh.
I got me a loud one.
I think that's so funny. It must have, did it take him some time to, I mean, did he always know you with
like
wig
wigs and weaves and all
I mean,
that? Yeah.
You only now recently started to have it shortened.
Yeah, look, and at home when it's hot, like the wig comes off, so too bad, so sad.
Yeah.
And then when I couldn't keep up that pretending, and I'm like, this dude has to eventually see, like the wig came off and he was like, oh. Oh. Cool, so you're really black.
It goes all the way.
Right. Yes,
that
darling.
Is so cute.
Yeah.
So cute. I love conversations like this, and I really hope, and I know that people struggle with it a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of people who don't get married because they just, like, they're like, it's just too much of a schlep, like, to go through the whole thing with family and traditions, and they know people are going to fight or whatever the case is. And I really hope, like, if anything that you've taken from this conversation is that, you know, like Dumi and Roger, put your love first. If that's
absolutely.
The person that you want to be with, deal with whatever comes. I promise you, it's the same even if he was black. You are going to have the same fights. It's going to be the same budget. It's going to be the same issues.
Yeah. Like, 100%.
Very little of it is going to be about the whiteness. Rather, it's just the same old. So we wish you all the best. Dumi, thank you so
much.
Thank you.
And I think we're gonna have a few more conversations
Definitely. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Send our love to Roger. Keep
thank
up with
you.
The conversation on Facebook and Instagram. Use the hashtag Wedding Central. Thanks so much. CliffCentral.com.